Number two at the charts, mate, in 1975. And one person that was part of that group is the lovely David Van Day. David Van Day on the phone. How are you? Good afternoon.
How are you? I'm feeling the loving, man. I'm feeling... Gosh. What year did you say that was?
1975. Kept off the top of the charts by the Bay City Rollers.
Yeah, but that's quite true. That's not completely true because... I mean, the Bay City Rollers were huge. You could not get them off for love nor money. But Radio Luxembourg, which was a love chart, sort of like of it wasn't made up of sales.
Yeah.
Where you see the BBC chart is made up of sales and airplay. What we had, so we went to number one at Radio Luxembourg. How about that?
Oh, that was good.
And people used you might have even listened to Radio Luxembourg under the sheets at night.
I've got to be honest with you, I was one of the people that didn't.
Oh, well, where were you then?
I was a avid Radio 1 listener.
Oh, you were listening to... Radio 1 had come along, of course, yes, yeah.
Yeah.
By then, yeah. What was the first record played on Radio 1?
Oh, that was Flowers in the Rain by The Move.
That's right.
Yeah.
And it was actually Tony Blackburn. And he said, I like it so much, I'm going to play again.
And that was, I think, 7 o'clock on Saturday, the 30th of September.
Oh, I've got a real geek here, haven't I? I realise this now. Ian is the geek. But actually, it was Tony Blackburn who played a whole lot of Loving on that morning of 1975.
Right.
And said, I like it so much. I'm going to play it again, because I can, because I'm Tony Blackburn. I'm going to make it my record of the week next week.
And that's what helped it get to where it was?
It certainly did. Well, it was a good track. To be honest, it's a shame, in a way, because if we'd held back, it would have been a great Eurovision track.
It's got that feel, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, certainly. And the guys who wrote it were Arnold, Martin and Morrow.
Yeah.
There used to be a group called Butterscotch.
Right.
Don't you know, she said hello. I don't know if you remember that. Anyway, so they become songwriters, and they wrote that, but they also went on to write, you know I can't smile without you.
Yes, I remember. Yes.
David Martin wrote Can't Smile Without You. So, we couldn't get them off the BBC charts back then, but we sold millions and millions of records with that track all around the world. It was a great act to be in, and of course we had Bruce's daughter in the group, Dooley.
Bruce Forsyth, yep.
Yes, my love. He used to come and see the group. He thought we were very good. In those days, you could play all around the country in these huge cabaret rooms.
Yeah.
And which we did, and you'd get amazing acts from America coming over. I remember you'd get there on the Sunday, the week before your start, and see the last act on.
Right.
And it was Del Shannon one year. It was Del's him in the dressing room, and he slumped in the chair after his gig, and I said, that's Del Shannon.
He didn't run away then?
He couldn't, I don't think. It's been accurate.
So how many were there in Guys and Dolls? There seemed to be like 20 of you.
Yeah, there's too many. There's six. There's three boys and three girls.
Ah, right.
So there was, so you had Julie.
Yeah.
And then you had Dominic, who became a couple, and I've been together for 34 years or something.
Wow.
And then you got Martine as our lead singer. She was a bit like a Lulu type of person.
Yeah.
And then you had Paul come from... In fact, Paul's brother was in one of those Australian groups. Not Men Without Hats, but there was another one. Quite a famous group. Anyway, he came... So he was more from the rock side.
Yeah.
And then I came out of Talia Conti with Julie and Martine, really, at stage school.
Right.
And straight into work. I was 17 when I got that job. So I'd just previously been a womble.
No!
Yeah.
I'm saying no, I know that, because you've already told me. But I didn't want to be the one to mention it.
I know. Well, I don't know. I was Cousin Yellowstone, and I was in a stage version of it. Chris, there were like pantomime shows that went out.
Yeah.
Instead of doing pantomime that year, many of the theatres around the country were putting these shows. Bill Kenwright, in fact, was the producer, a very famous producer.
Oh, yeah.
And Everton's chairman. Is he the chairman of Everton, isn't he? But anyway, he was putting these shows on. So, I was Cousin Yellowstone, and I was in Winslow, just outside Manchester with this show.
Weren't you the fitness womble?
Yeah, I was. That's right. I was cutting Yellowstone.
Yeah.
But I used to sing that song, Up in the Morning for a 5 mile run, down to the river for a swim, by Sir Belgian, it's all good fun, chest out and keep your tummy in, poetry and motion. And it goes on. Yeah, it's funny, it sticks with music. See, this is the thing, when you get old at my age, you can remember the words to songs of 50 years ago.
Oh, yeah, I know.
But I can't tell you what I had for breakfast.
No, that's true. I can sing you all the words to Remember You're a Womble perfectly.
Yeah.
But, you know, to ask me what I had for dinner last night, I couldn't remember.
That's weird, isn't it? It's
really?
Funny how these things get in your head.
Oh, yes.
Stay in your head, I suppose.
True. True. So,
how are things there today? Are people being nice to you?
Oh, yes. People are being lovely. There is a whole lot of love going on.
How are they all coping with this staycation, stay at home?
Some people are doing things. Some people are climbing the walls. I've got a friend who's unfortunately ill in hospital at the moment. I've got a relation who's been taken to hospital. And I've got friends that are perfectly well that have had it in a very mild form and it's all gone. And I've got friends that it hasn't touched at all. So yes, what about you?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I had a cold for 2 weeks, so I don't know if I've had it very mildly. And this is what's bothering me, because I would like to have a test.
Yeah.
So, just to know, one way or the other, really.
I think a lot of us would.
Yeah, I mean, I feel I've had it, to be honest, but a very mild form of it. But I don't definitely know. So I'm, you know, adhering to all the policies to stay in and just do one walk a day because I've got four dogs.
Well, they've got to be walked.
Yes. So we do the walk a day once a day with them.
Yeah.
And then we try and do the shopping maybe just once every 3 days. She pops out or I pop out.
Yeah.
Usually just get some bread and milk or something. That's about it, really.
Yeah, just pop up to little Tesco's and sort it out.
That's it, yeah. Other stores are available.
There are. Now, once Guys and Dolls finished, you teamed up with Teresa and formed Dollar.
That's right. So we'd been doing that for about 2 or 3 years with Guys and Dolls, and we'd had another big hit. We did a cover of Dusty Springfield's
You Don't Have
you
to Say.
You Don't Have to See. You sing it. Because you're a singer.
You Don't Have to Say You Love Me, Just Be Close at Hand. Don't have to stay forever. I will understand. I could have been in the band.
You could have been there.
I could have given Dominic a run for his money.
Yeah, you could.
He had a deep voice.
Yeah, he it was sort of. He came along at a time where PJ Proby was probably and Scott Walker.
Yeah,
being huge stars.
Oh yeah,
and. It was along those lines. It got a bit of the end of it, really, there.
He was, yeah.
And also, that sound was sort of disappearing a bit, and a much lighter sort of vocal sound was coming in.
Yeah, so hence Dollar came along.
Yeah, so we did 3 years in Guys and Dolls, and then I thought, well, I'm only 21 coming up to it, and I thought, let's do, you know, I think I know enough about the business to maybe try it on my own.
Right. Is that when you met Lloyd Beeney?
Oh, Lloyd. Lloyd, well, yeah, it probably was. Lloyd was around, yes, Mr. Beanie, of course. Yeah, and his partner was Mike Dolan.
Right.
And they had a big management company. I think they had Judas Priest. That's diverse acts, actually.
That was really diverse, yeah.
Yeah, Judas Priest. And then, of course, the big one, of course, was the Eurythmics, who weren't called Eurythmics then. They were called...
The Tourists.
That's it, the Tourists.
Yeah,
they did a cover, actually, of a Dusty Springfield song.
Only Want to Be With You.
Yeah, and had a nice big hit with that. So
Lloyd, by the way, sends his regards.
Does he? I see them on Facebook, him and Howard Marks.
Yeah, I spoke to Lloyd on Facebook the other day, and I told him I was going to have you on the show, and he said, oh, send David my regards.
Yeah, I saw him. I bumped into his old partner, Mike Dolan, only about a month ago at an exhibition. His wife's an artist, Nina Holland.
Oh, wow.
And, Nina Holland, isn't it? Yeah.
And that, back in the good old days when we could go out.
Yeah, I think it was the last big event that I saw in town.
Wow.
Anyway, yes, so Lloyd was great fun. And it is probably.
He is. He's mad as a march hare.
Yeah, I see the little whiskers he has. little pointy beard. Looks like a little leprechaun.
That's it, his Poirot moustache.
And now I know about him. Now his wife.
Yeah.
What's his wife's name?
Remember, you're on air.
Yeah. No. It's only no. But what's his wife's name? Do you remember?
I don't know.
I think. Well, she had. He had to have white towels.
Right.
Sure, it was him. Being a nice Jewish boy, his mother said to him, "You've got to have white towels so we can see the dirt on them." And so in the house, his wife used to go, "I can't have any pink towels, can't have any blue towels, they've got to be white."
Right.
Sure, it was him, it was either him or Howard. Yeah, things stuck with me, things like that. And it's, to this day, I only have white towels. It's weird.
Wow.
How about that?
It's funny what things how things get ingrained. So let's go back to the start of Dollar then.
So we did. So Guys and Dolls did about 3 years, and the hit stopped.
Right.
Really, to be honest, it was over. And I was trying to get them to do something a bit more progressive, only in a pop sense, really. But
yeah.
They didn't really move, and I guess six people in a group, that's a lot of mouths to feed.
Of course.
You know, so, and you didn't need six, you could, four was fine. Anyway, we left, I cut a long story short, we formed Dollar, and within about 6 months, we were very lucky, we came up and released our first single, and it was a hit.
Yes, which your first single was?
Shooting Star.
I've got that on single, I've got it on vinyl.
Well, Shooting Star. So that was written by a guy called David Courtney.
Yeah.
Originally David Cohen, but he's known as David Courtney. And he used to write with Leo Sayer.
Ah.
In fact, he discovered Leo with Adam Faith. His big mate was Adam Faith at
yes,
the time.
Yes, of course.
And they discovered Leo through some auditions. And then they started writing him, and they came up with the idea of dressing him up as a clown.
Yeah.
And all of that. And of course, Leo was enormous, huge.
Oh yes,
just in the UK, it's in America. So he broke through in the States.
But your band became very, very big as well. I mean,
oh yeah,
you can't underestimate the hits that you had. I mean, on the first single, did you and Therese not write the B side?
Yes, we did. Yeah,
yeah.
You've got to remember, see, so we'd been through the 3 years with Guys and Dolls.
Yeah,
didn't really make much money out of the recording.
Of course not.
And we got a living from the cabaret work, but and the theatre work. But I mean, we were never off TV. We were always on TV, Guys and Dolls.
Oh,
every sort of light entertainment show, we were on it.
Yep.
And in those days, you had viewers of 22 million watching a show.
Oh, cool. There was only three stations back then.
Well, okay. But it's true. Anyway, so we did these big reality shows, and from Dollar, Shooting Star, David wrote it. It wasn't a big hit. It went to about number 14.
Yeah.
But it actually sold over a quarter of a million records.
Wow.
And that's how many you had to sell it. And so if you sell a quarter of a million records now, you'd be number one for 6 weeks, probably.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
It was all different with the charts back then.
Yeah, I used to get sales figures through and say, you've sold 50,000 today, and things
wow.
like that. Ridiculous amounts of products.
Yeah.
So we did Shooting Star. It wasn't, as I say, but what it wasn't a big hit, but it was in the charts for about 14 weeks, and it was number one in the Airplay charts. So not everybody knows, you'll know this, but there is a DJ chart.
Yeah. And an Airplay chart.
The Airplay chart, what the radio stations were playing.
Yes.
It sounded so good on the cans, Shooting Star, with your earphones on.
Yeah.
You know, the DJ's listening to it in that stereophonic sound, and all these whizzes of, you know, well, we had a synthesizer.
Yeah.
And it was called a Yamaha CS40. It was a really big thing. It was like a grand piano almost. And people with white coats and stuff had to come in and work it. It was one of the first synthesizers. Yeah, it was. It did, yeah. And it had all these funny sounds on it. Pshong, pshong, and we could do all these, like, Shooting Star sounds.
Yeah.
So we were one of the first electronic bands.
Wow.
Really. Yeah, and so that was Shooting Star. And we were, that was produced by a guy called Chris Neal.
Yeah.
Chris, and he went on to produce Sheena Easton.
Right.
And did all those early hits with her. course, the big one being "For Your Eyes Only."
I thought 9 to 5 was a huge hit for her.
They had to change the name of that, didn't they? Because
yeah.
Dolly Parton, and they called it Morning Train.
That's it. Well, no, in America they called it Morning Train. It was still 9 to 5 over here, but I think they put it in brackets.
That's right.
Morning Train.
See, once again, the geek Ian comes up with the answer. True. It was only changed in America. You were right.
You just learn all this useless information from over the years. It just sinks in and sits there until you need
You're
it.
You're a sponge.
That's it. Just call me SpongeBob SquarePants. So,
yeah.
Now,
anyway, we're on Guys and Dolls. We're on Dollar, and we're doing Susan Star first. It all sounds very good. And then David writes another hit for us, which was "Who Were You With
in the Moonlight? Who Would You Hold in Soft?"
Which is actually a great track, and it still stands up today. I can sing that in cabaret today, and it still goes down well. It's still, because I suppose it's a bit more of a song in some sense.
Yeah.
But it was, so that works very well today. "Who Were You With in the Moonlight?" And similarly, that went to, I think it went to the same place, number 14.
Right.
Was about, number one in the airplay chart once again. So we were making
you had that sound, didn't you, that people liked, and it was poppy, it wasn't too stuffy, it was lovey-dovey in some places, so people could relate to it.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it was quite a good sound, but as you say, it would appeal to the DJs. They just liked the sound we were creating, and that's why we always get to number one in the airplay charts. So we were on the right tracks, you know. We were making records, and although they couldn't get past 14, you know, they were still selling 250,000 and things like that. I suppose it weren't the Bay City Rollers, but there you go.
Well, that was just all poppy. That was teeny bopper stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah,
so
I did all that, and we did all that in 75 with Guys and Dolls.
Yeah.
We used to do those big road shows with David Cassidy and Elvin Stardust and Gary Glitter, and all these types of people are on the bill.
Yeah, of course.
And we did a Wembley Saturday Scene road show.
I remember that.
Sally James.
Yeah, loved Saturday Scene. Oh, and then after that you had Supersonic
and Mike Mansfield.
Yeah. Yeah,
and you get Ryder White Swan with Mark Bolan and dropping a load of snow on his head and lots of fun like that. And remember Tiswas?
Yeah, I love Tiswas. Love Tiswas. So you've gone from "Who Were You With in the Moonlight?" Next song, "Love's Got a Hold of Me," number 4 in the charts. What about that?
How crazy was that?
Yeah,
and that's the song that I wrote, and I thought Theresa and I wrote it with Theresa, and we were very good at emulating other people's songs.
Right.
And that was our sort of tribute to "How Deep Is Your Love."
Ah, I gotcha. 13 weeks in the charts, that took. Wow.
And I didn't think Theresa had the lead vocal on it, and it was a smash. It was in the top 5.
Yeah.
It sold a lot of records.
Now, go on.
And well, it was amazing because now we weren't just singers, we were songwriters as well.
Yes, songwriters and top 10 performers now.
That's it. So we'd written the B-sides. What I was going to say, actually, we left it, but after being in Guys and Dolls, I knew all the pitfalls. So when we formed Dollar, I had my own publishing company.
That's right.
My own production company. And so we were getting the right slices of the dough, of the cake.
Well, that's good. That's what you've got to do, really. I mean, you need to do that. Otherwise you get a very small share, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you hear members of Oxford say they never got a cent, really, out of all those recordings.
Yeah.
I mean, they did well live, they did quite well out, but as from a recording point of view, they never made a cent.
No. And your next single was "I Want to Hold Your Hand," got to number 9. That was a Beatles cover.
Yes, that's right. It was "I Want to Hold Your Hand," and the main riff, da-da-da-da-da, wasn't even on it. We took it out.
Yeah.
So it was the strangest, and it was very different to what I expected what we would do with it.
It was more like a
Blondie track. I thought it was going to be.
It was very fantasy-fied, wasn't it?
It's very heavy. The drums were very heavy on it, and a bit almost like the Police or something. It was weird.
Yeah. But that got, it got to number 9, so what does that matter? You got into the top 10 with it.
Yeah, amazing.
And then you, well, you stayed in the top 10 with Mirror Mirror, didn't you? Mirror Mirror, Mon Amour. And give
well, that, what happened there? There was a break.
Yeah.
And we had one, 1980 wasn't a great year. We produced an album ourselves. It didn't do terribly well. Did okay. But in 1981, we teamed up with Trevor Horn.
Yeah. Changed record labels.
Yeah, changed record labels. Some big changes. Times were changing. And we got hold of Trevor Horn, who does the radio star.
Yeah.
We heard that, and I thought, well, whoever did that is either quite a genius or really it was just a fluke. But it turns out he was a genius, and we got it right. And, of course, for the first record we did with him, Handheld in Black and White.
Yeah.
And once again, that went to number one in the Airplay chart. But
it only got to 19.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Strange.
12 weeks in the chart, that was. Wow.
Yeah. And that but it sold a lot, but it just didn't get past that 20 top 10 business. So
yeah, and then you didn't get back to into the top 10 till Give Me Back My Heart. Followed that with
No. Mirror Mirror came first.
Yeah,
after
Mirror Mirror. Yeah,
after Handheld and Black and White, we did Mirror Mirror, and that went to number 4.
That's it.
But, top 5 at Christmas time as well.
Yes,
so that was a particularly good hit about Christmas to have you millions sold. And then
did you end up on Christmas Top of the Pops with that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. And then probably we'd do lots of other Christmas Day shows.
Yeah.
As well, because we were good for light entertainment as an act. And that's when people, we used to do these big top shows.
Yeah.
On the BBC, and again, let's say 20 million people. And some of those pop artists before coming out of punk had been a bit cool about it. So I'm not sure if those shows are for us. But when they saw the record sales we were getting, and the one who broke the mold was Boy George. You know,
yeah.
They came along and he thought, no, I'll do it.
Oh, yeah, he was happy to do anything to get his records out there.
Yeah. So, and he would do a big top show, probably sell millions of records, come on Chameleon and all that sort of stuff. So.
Bless
and
him.
Then once he'd done it, I think everybody started doing the taboo had gone, you know, to do live entertainment shows, and they were all doing it.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Well, let's just jump a little bit then. So your last big top 10 hit was Ola Moore with Dollar in 87.
Yeah.
You changed record labels again to London. Got to number 7, 11 weeks in the chart, but that gets covered, doesn't it? It has a bigger hit for Eurasia.
So what happened was, actually, Eurasia had originally released it as a single for them in their very early days.
Right.
And it wasn't actually a hit for them.
Right.
And then they were, I think their next record was a hit, and then they became really big. And it was, it's a track we heard, and I said, why wasn't that a hit? I can't believe this hasn't been a hit. And so we covered it, and, the rest is history. We had a hit with it.
Yeah.
So I think, funny enough with Eurasia, it's one of the most popular tracks in their act, if you go and see their act live.
That's what I meant. Yes, it wasn't a big hit for him. It was a bigger hit for you, but it's one of their biggest, live tracks.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how they felt about it, but we did. We put it in the top 10 for them.
Yeah, well, listen, I do listen. I have listened to everything you've told me in the past. It just comes out in different ways sometimes.
Yeah. I said, look, there's a lot there. This is very condensed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We could probably do a whole show on you in the 80s.
But there's a story for every phrase that I come out with. There's 10 stories around it. So I know. Possibly do that to your audience.
Well, we're only on short time here. So let's fast forward to the 21st century. Was it the 21st or the... Yeah, the 21st. You end up in the jungle.
Yeah, it was 2008.
Yeah.
I'd just done a show earlier that year for ITV called Pop Goes the Band.
Right.
Which was a big makeover show.
I remember
that. Taking bands from the past and letting them have a makeover an excuse for a show. Anyway, they saw that and I was quite dramatic on that. As usual, creating havoc. And they said, oh, you don't have to come and see us. Would you like to do the jungle? Which is offered to me. So I said, yes. I was living in Spain at the time.
Right.
And I'd sort of just got out there. I'd sold a house in Brighton. And I'd got out there thinking I was going to retire, really. I think I've had a just retire in Spain, do a few clubs or something.
Yeah.
And then that came up, and it changed everything again. So I came back, went down to Australia, did quite a controversial sort of show.
Yeah.
Very big cast list in that show. So you had people like Esther Hanson. Yeah?
Yeah.
George Takei from Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
You had Timmy Mallett. Of course, you had Joe Swash, who won it on the show.
Yep.
You had Simon Webb from Baloo.
I remember that, yeah.
We had Paddy, who wanted to be the mayor of London. The gay copper.
Yep, I remember him.
Yeah. And you had Robert Kilroy's Silk.
Of course, yes, it was that year.
He used to have his own show, Chat Show.
Yeah.
And... it's probably more than that. I'll probably miss somebody. But it was a really big cast.
You have a single come out after you came out the jungle from that?
Yeah. Well, while I was there, I was getting quite popular with it. And I'd go into that little hut and they'd say, you know, the kids like you. Apparently, they think you're funny.
Yeah.
Do you want to do... Look, if we give you a video camera, can you write a pop song in there while you're in there? and do a video for us. And all that, so I did, and that's when I came up with Biff Baff Bosch.
But yeah,
Biff Baff Bosch with celebrity.
I've got the single.
Oh my god!
But I haven't got it at the station, so you're lucky.
Yeah, because it was all kicking off in there.
Yeah,
and so we came up with this staff song, and I got Timmy Mallett involved in it.
Yeah,
and
good.
Timmy and I did it, and it was quite fun, and. Yeah, so so that came out of that, and then you know, I've done most of the reality TV shows now, from Come Dine With Me to Coach Trip to Four Weddings.
Oh, Coach Trip was a bit of an explosion. That was.
Oh yeah,
you got thrown into the snake pit with that one.
Oh yeah, I suppose I did. But you know what? I watch these shows. People say, "What do you think of the jungle these days?" I said, "Well, you know, they feed them too much. So there's not enough drama going on."
Yeah,
you know, and it's like EastEnders. If you don't get any drama, you haven't really got a show.
No, that's true. I totally agree with you.
So I would look at these shows, and people keep saying, "Well, it hasn't kicked off yet," and you know, because everybody loves that. I'm sorry to get me out of it.
Oh
you know,
yeah.
It captured audiences. The last 2 weeks of November.
Sharon can't get enough of it.
Yeah, when it's pouring with rain outside, the weather's horrible, people are saving up for Christmas, yeah? So it's the last week, and it just dips into December for a couple of days, and so it's a real capture of audience, big audience, it's probably the biggest outside of Strictly Come Dancing.
Yeah, I think you're right, it overtakes most things on the telly.
And the problem with it, you know, if you don't get drama, it can be a bit lacking. So, you know, you've got to have drama with these shows. Otherwise, it's like watching paint dry.
Undoubtedly.
Some of the girls, you know, the pretty girls that get in there,
yeah.
And they do the sunbathing in their bikinis.
Yeah, I know.
And they think it's good. That's okay for a night or two, but that ain't going to last for 3 weeks.
You've got to have some controversy going on in that kind of thing, haven't
and
you?
And I have plenty of that. So I always offer that. I mean, I don't do much of those shows now. I turn them down, but... and that's because I've got a bit more serious with my... I got fed up with watching sort of the sort of shows I was starting to watch were political shows like Question Time and Andrew Marr and things like that. I just got more interested in politics and I suppose because they were real. Because to be honest, there's nothing real about reality TV shows.
No. So you've become a councillor.
That's right. I'm a Conservative councillor in Thurrock, and my ward is Aveley and Uplands. So I represent the people there. I got in a by-election just over a year ago, and it was a bit of gloomy period, and it was very hard work to get for Conservatives to get in then.
It was.
It was before Boris. We weren't doing very well in the polls. Anyway, but I had this really spectacular win then, which was everybody was pleased about.
Did you think going on This Morning helped?
Oh, well, I'd done that afterwards, you see. So they were introduced and They thought it was going to be a bit of a joke, but I got there and found out actually I was quite serious about it.
I was just going to say, I thought they were taking the mickey a little bit when I watched it. You held your own and you turned it around. I've got to give you credit for that. You turned that whole interview around, and then they had to sit up and listen and go, maybe he isn't a clown and a comedian. This is serious.
Yeah, well, I think so. I suppose when you consider the past, you think, well, maybe they had they were right to think that initially.
Well, but of course,
by the end of it, they were going, do you think you're against number 10? I said, who knows? Donald Trump.
You gave a very good answer. Listen, David, it's been great having you on the show, but we're practically running out of time up to the news. I'm going to play Ola Moore, I think.
Yeah, okay.
Because... That is a great track to take us to the news at 4 o'clock. Thanks for chatting. Give my regards to your lovely wife Sue and your lovely mother-in-law Betty.
Okay, I love to share your lovely wife Sue.
I will
have a nice week and
stay
keep safe.
And
thanks for having me on.
Okay. A pleasure. Keep well.
Bye.
God bless.
Bye. 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 Bye, everybody.